Hello and welcome to We Are All Stories, a Doctor Who podcast by Tess G Podcasts. I am Tess Green, and I just want to remind you to please use the hashtag WAASTGP and the handle at Tess G Podcasts whenever you Facebook, tweet, Instagram, etc. I want to make sure I get all of your posts and I can respond to everything. Also, if you can please rate and review this podcast on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. And please check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/TessGPodcasts. I appreciate all the support you guys give. So let's get started. We are watching Series 1, Episode 4, The Aliens of London. And because this is very obviously a two-part episode, we will watch the second episode as well. So we'll start off with this first part and then go into the second part. This is directed by Keith Boak and written by Russell T. Davies. And the original air date is April 16th, 2005. The episode starts out with like a recap on episode one. So it doesn't talk about episode two and three. It goes from episode one. So when Rose first meets the doctor, and that whole situation, this leads us to believe, and correctly so, that this episode is going to be taking place on Earth during present time on Earth, with all of Rose's family and her boyfriend and all of her drama. It then moves into the cold open, so we see the TARDIS appearing in present day England. It's Rose's apartment complex, or housing complex. Rose asks the doctor how long she's gone. He says it's been about 12 hours. He's like, what are you going to say to your mom? She's like, I know, I don't know. I'm just going to say I'm at my mate's house. Shireen, I believe, is the mate's name. I just stayed out with Shireen all night. The music's soft and kind of happy and peaceful. So Rose runs off to the apartment, and you see her going up the stairs. And the doctor's just kind of waiting, and then he walks over to a post. And you see the music start to change, and it changes, and he gets a little panicky. And the doctor says, like, looks at a piece of paper where you see Rose's face and a little bit of the information. It's kind of a quick glance at it. And you see Rose continue up as the music is changing. It's kind of flashing back and forth between these two signs. She runs inside, sees her mother. Her mother is freaking out. Is it you? Is it you? She's like, yeah, it's me. Sorry, I was at Shireen's, blah, blah, blah. And Jackie drops the mug. And we go back to the doctor and we see that Rose has been missing. There's missing call if you see posters around. So we see the doctor run to the apartment. Jackie hugs Rose, super upset. And the doctor runs in saying, it's not been 12 hours, it's been 12 months. You've been gone a year. And then we cut to credits. So looking back at this episode before I rewatched it, I did not think that this was the cold open. I knew that this happened, but I didn't remember it being the cold open, which is quite interesting because this episode is about so much more, but there was so much growth in Rose's life at this time. So it is interesting to see her come back to this and this be the focus of the episode, because usually the cold open leads to kind of the focus of the episode. Whereas if you watch preview to the next episode, last episode, if anyone followed anything I said in that sentence, I'm really impressed. If you watched the preview, last episode, you would have seen the aliens of London. So this is when the alien crashes into the Big Ben and it's all that. So I was really surprised to watch this again and to be like, oh, that's not mentioned at all in the cold open. The only thing that's mentioned is Rose is live. And so I do kind of like that, because even though the alien is a big part of the story, it's almost like, it's almost like in Buffy, there's like the monster of the week, which is like, okay, it's just another monster. I mean, it's a two-parter episode, so it's a little bit bigger, a little bit more important, but it's still just a monster, and the main thing we should be focusing on is Rose's life and Rose's transition to where she is now. So there will be things I point out about what Rose does or says in this episode and in the following episode, obviously, because it's a two-parter, that really almost surprises me that Rose says it. There's a couple things. I'm like, well, Rose, watch what you say. It's important. Okay. So after the credits, we see a kid spray painting Bad Wolf on the TARDIS. So again, another hint to this Bad Wolf, which we will get to at the end of the season. And then you go back to the apartment where Jackie is yelling at Rose. Just full on yelling. Where were you? Like, you never, you can't just say you're traveling. What does that mean? You've been gone for a year. Why wouldn't you call? All these things. And it really is, it's interesting because you're in this really awkward situation with Rose where it's like, she was gone for maybe a couple days, didn't think it was a big deal. Really, from her point of view, she called her mom once or twice. She was supposed to be back. It's a time machine, so she thought she'd be back way sooner, like it wasn't a big deal. And her mom, rightfully so, is freaking out because her daughter's been gone an entire year. So it's very awkward. Rose doesn't know how to explain it. Her life has changed. She thought that she could go on this trip with the doctor without any ramifications to her regular life, and it hasn't occurred, which is just such an interesting thought. It's not even just her personal life that changed when she was gone, because she was gone for a lot longer than she anticipated, but also she has changed, and we will see this through this episode especially, that she has grown up. She has learned what she wanted, or what she wants, and is kind of willing to leave some things behind in the dust because of it. So we do learn a lot about Rose this episode. And it really is, like, even though the main plot is the aliens, it is kind of a secondary plot. The main plot is Rose and her story and all the new characters we meet. So we'll meet quite a few characters in this episode who will carry on. And it is quite entertaining. I enjoy it. Mind you, I enjoy almost everything, so that means nothing. So there Jackie is yelling at Rose where she went in front of that cop. I like how Jackie slaps the doctor. Nice little move there, Jackie, and rightfully so. I mean, he stole your daughter, and from her point of view, she has 100% reason to be freaking out. It's just so reasonable. I don't even know, like, I couldn't, like, how can you put the sides together without telling Jackie? You have to tell Jackie. Basically, what we learned from this intro is that Jackie needs to know. Because how else will she explain what happened? Then Rose and Jackie go off to the kitchen. They're talking, they're crying and hugging. And Rose knows she can't tell her mother, because also Jackie would freak out. But doesn't know how else to do it. Like, doesn't know what to say to make it better. All she can say is she was traveling, which isn't lying. It's just not telling the whole truth, which is not helpful. And Jackie knows that she's not telling the whole truth. Then we move outside with Rose and the doctor. They're sitting on the side somewhere. I don't know where they're sitting, but somewhere in England. And they're just talking. And Rose is lamenting that she can't tell her mom. So she's freaking out. She's like, I can't tell my mom. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this situation better. Because for me, it was only a couple days. Like, I don't understand. And then Doctor makes a joke that Jackie can't come with them. He doesn't do families. I like this point because, you know, that'll change all the time. That'll change all the time. Like, he does families. So it's great. Then they laugh about him being slapped, and he says that he's been time traveling for 900 years and he's never been slapped. And then of course Rose brings up his age and said, you're 900. And she's like, whoa, that's a huge age gap. Which is true, which Rose should always remember, but she doesn't. And Rose says, dramatic irony moment, where she says, aliens and spaceships and things, and I'm the only person on the earth that knows they exist. And as exist leaves her mouth, that one word leaves her mouth, out comes a spaceship and crashes into the Big Ben and into the Thames. Of course, following this, Rose and the doctor do what they always do, and they run. And I like this point. The doctor and Rose are in the middle of, like, on the bridge, and where it's all blocked off and there's security everywhere. As you would assume with an alien crash landing, how much police and everything, security, army security there would be. And the doctor says, this is why I travel, to see history happen in front of me. And I do like that. I like that he doesn't know anything. He admits not knowing anything and obviously will explore the not knowing and see what's really happening because he needs to know. But he does travel. His purpose of traveling is to see history. He wants to see life happen in front of him. Rose, of course, then suggests we can just do what everyone else does. And they go watch it on TV up in the apartment. We follow the news broadcaster for a little bit. And they see the aliens have landed in the Thames. We're watching this as this kind of continues. Everyone's going to 10 Downey Street. I'm just kind of following this along. To me, this was just like a kind of a narrative part where they just went through and needed to explain some plot. So a nice, interesting way to do it. It kind of kept it light, kind of kept it interesting. Would change a couple people who said it. It was kind of efficient to do it that way versus a lot of other ways of doing this. We then see, after this little news broadcast saying that people have gone into Downing Street, we see a military man walking down the hall. He looks very serious. He looks very in charge. I don't know what level he is at, what level of military he is. So later I will call him military man. I should really learn all the characters' names, but I don't think they all have names, to be fair. He walks to the lab. The scientist pulls the cloth off the body and he is shocked and dismayed. She says she's never seen anything like it. He's like, put it away. So they put it in the morgue because it is dead. And then the scientist woman runs up and she says, is it true what they say about the prime minister? And then he looks at her and walks away. So this is a point we need to remember, that there's something going on with the prime minister. What is going on? Panic and dismay. So from this section, we've kind of learned a couple things. The alien is a shocking alien, which we kind of knew. And there's something happening with the prime minister. The next little bit, we get introduced to Harriet Jones. Oh, Harriet. She's one of our continuous characters coming up. So, yay, Harriet. She's so determined in this episode to get her little bill passed. We then see the emergency protocol getting passed to the acting prime minister. We then see him walk into the conference room. And he puts the briefcase down and the three of them look at each other and just start laughing like an evil, maniacal laugh. So clearly from this moment we learn something is amiss. And it is probably amiss with the three of them because they sound like villains. It's a logical jump in thought, I believe. And I know it's correct. So I feel like I was correct in my jump of thought originally. It just looks suspicious and it is suspicious. We then flash back to the apartment where the doctor walks out the door and says that he is not going to investigate this. He talks to Rose. He's like, no, it's up to you guys. You guys are going to figure it out. I'm not going to investigate it. This is exciting that humans are having their first interactions. Maybe they'll grow up. You were these little clay people and now you're grown-ups. It's very exciting. And then we go to Mickey seeing the doctor leave. And this is a moment, again, we'll see it in a second. I guess I can wait a second. So he sees the doctor leave. We laugh at the doctor driving the TARDIS. Because, you know, he's using a rubber mallet and random things, which is always funny. Harriet Jones is still trying to talk to the prime minister. The acting prime minister, sorry. And she's really trying. And she has lots of heart and determination. And everyone's like, come on, woman. An alien just crash landed, which I understand, but doesn't stop the other issues. But yes, it is, again, lower priority. So she should really understand that. But again, she wants to push her thing. This is her chance. She's been fighting for this for a while, clearly. Harriet then tries to put her bill. She puts it on top of the briefcase and then puts it inside the briefcase and realizes this is emergency protocol. And she's reading it and kind of dismayed. We then go back to the morgue where it's lit beautifully. Don't worry, guys. Always going to mention the lighting. I know you were worried. We should almost have a drinking game where you have to drink down your whole drink every time I say lighting. Yes, it's beautiful. Blue lighting. It's creepy. Very spacey. It's like very black and blue, like dark. And then the blue lighting. And there's no music. And you hear bumping in the morgue. So they're kind of increasing the creep factor quite successfully. Because it is kind of creepy, that moment. It's very dramatic and very scary. Of course, as we suspected, the doctor has come to the hospital or the Downings, wherever they are, with the alien. We suspected this. This is not a surprise in any way, shape, or form. All the soldiers point their guns at the doctor, and he just stands there smiling at them until the scientist woman screams, and then the doctor takes charge, which I love that the soldiers just let him run by and let him take charge. He says to lock down the whole building, so they go out and lock down, and then he realizes it's still here. So currently we are still in this blue and black lighting, kind of creepy, kind of like we just hear a little bit of rattling. This is definitely horror movie kind of pretense. I do appreciate the lack of seeing the monster, the alien. It's not really a monster. When they do these scary things, it's better not to see it, and they do a good job with that. Because you, whatever you come up in your head is way scarier than anything they could make. So it is good to kind of make that, build up that anticipation, make you scared because you can't see the alien. And also do like the little rattling, the bumping, the woman screaming. You know what I mean? It is a scary situation. I do like that. Just so you know. So the doctor sees the alien, which turns out to be a pig in like a flight suit. He goes, hello, and is smiling. And the pig screams and runs down the hall and eventually gets shot by a soldier. And the doctor says, what did you do that for? It was scared. Which is sweet that he got angry about that. I like that. We now flash back to... A lot of flashing back and around in this episode, kind of building up the tension, especially because this is the first half of the story. So basically the entire point of this first half is to explain a little bit of the plot and to build up a lot of anticipation and a lot of stress and a lot of adrenaline and all those feels. You have to be really on the edge of your seat by the end of this episode because it is the first half. And I feel like they're pretty successful in making you on the edge of your seat. Pretty successful. Okay, so we're back in the room with Harriet. She sees the three people kind of come back and talk to the clerk, who I forget his name, and he's pretty good in this episode, and I feel horrible about it. Harriet then tries to hide and opens a bunch of doors and then hides in the closet because she can't escape. The three people, bad people, I will say, talk to... the military man who threatens them under martial law because they aren't following protocol. And we then see these three people who we learn are aliens. We see them unzip their foreheads, which is kind of a gross thing. Unzipping. Ugh. Yeah, it just grosses me out. Ugh. It's like a skin suit, which we learned they are basically skin suits, and I'm grateful that they're not more gory when we actually see the suits later. I am very grateful because they could have gone really disgusting with them and they did not, which is great. I think they decided not to have it as gory as it could be. Also, it's regular TV. So they unzip their heads and attack this military man, and then we go back to the doctor with the scientist and explains that it's a regular pig that was engineered to crash land. So it was super scared. And then the scientist says, aliens are faking aliens, because she realizes it's alien technology. So she's confused to why aliens would fake aliens. And then she looks up and the doctor is, of course, gone. And then we switch scenes and Mickey walks into the apartment. And Rose says, I was going to come see you. And this is the part, again, as I kind of stated in the first episode, I think Rose and Mickey are more friends than lovers. And I know it's TV, so they're not going to show too much. But like later on, you do get the idea that people are in love, and I just don't feel it from Rose and Mickey. They're quite young, because she's 19, so I assume that he is also 19. well, 20 now because it's been a year. Which is also very confusing because how old is Rose? Because she's been time traveling. Life doesn't make any sense when you travel with the doctor. No, so she says, I was going to come see you. But she's been there for an entire day with her mother. And I know her mother's freaked out. But, like, all of the neighbors have come over. Everyone's come over and talked to Rose. Like, she's been there all day. She could have called Mickey. His number hasn't changed as far as she knows. So she could have just called him. She has a cell phone with his number on it. I don't know why he wasn't a priority for her. But it's quite interesting. We go on and Mickey says that the doctor left without her. But she's like, then why do I have the TARDIS key? Oh yeah. The doctor gave Rose the TARDIS key earlier. which is nice because we see that TARDIS key a lot in the future. And then we see the TARDIS key light up. But right before it does that, Rose says, he's not my boyfriend, Mickey. He's better than that. He's more important. So that is something that Rose should just not say. Sorry, Rose. Say that he's not your boyfriend because it's true. But more important and better than that means that he's more important and better than Mickey. And you just basically ignored him and he was called in for your arrest like 6 times. Not for your arrest. For arrest due to your missing so many times. So, like, he's been on your side. But, yeah. It's not a good call. Not a good call. Rose tries to shove Jackie aside as she hears the TARDIS come in after the key lights up. And does not succeed. So we know this moment that Jackie has seen the TARDIS. And of course, freaks out. I love the moment that Rose walks in and says, my mother's here. And doctor's like, hey, no, don't freak out. This is not happening. I do not allow families. But Jackie freaks out, runs away. We then see the doctor, Mickey, and Rose looking into the little screen in the TARDIS and trying to investigate what's going on. Because the doctor admits to have gone to see the alien. He says he can't help himself. He's like, yeah, I did it. Don't worry. We then flash to Jackie calling the helpline, mentioning the doctor and the TARDIS, and we see it go on red alert. So there's a few keywords that send on red alert, and the doctor is obviously one. Dr. TARDIS, blue box, they're keywords. So we know everyone knows that they're there now, so voila. Rose and Mickey talk a little bit. Rose tells Mickey that it's only been like a few days, or Mickey's like, it's been 12 months. He's been single, but mostly because everyone thought he killed Rose, and so no one wanted to date him. So poor guy. So he's 20 now. So he's now a year older than her, I guess. They almost kiss, even though I'm not really buying it, Rose. I don't think you're in love with him. I think you should let him off easy. The doctor interrupts their almost kiss. We learn that the spaceship slingshotted from the Earth. So it came from the Earth to distract everybody. Kind of. We do learn that later. And then we learn about UNIT a little mention there. UNIT will be mentioned all the time throughout the series. The doctor, Rose, and Mickey step out of the TARDIS and they are surrounded by the army and policemen, and the doctor has one great line, which might be the line of this episode, I haven't decided yet, which says, take me to your leader. Oh, the doctor, just squishing the good one-liners in there. I swear I have never heard him say that before, so clearly I haven't been paying attention to that moment very closely in the past, because that is hilarious. He kind of mumbles it. And then he says to Rose, we're not being arrested, we're being escorted. So they're being taken to 10 Downing Street, which Rose and the doctor find hilarious. And then, because that's where they wanted to go, and now they're just being escorted there. So it saves them trouble. And You see the doctor kind of act like a rock star in front of the paparazzi, which is great. Rose is laughing. So we see the alien officer come out to Jackie's flat. Starts talking to her, and then we see the doctor go into the meeting with all the experts and the aliens that are in there as well, the hidden aliens, in their suits and gas. Lots of gas in this episode, so if you like fart jokes, it's kind of a good episode for that. I like how Harriet sees that Rose is with the doctor and then learns this is her way to get more information and to help out. So she pulls Rose aside and says she'll take care of Rose, but then shows Rose the zippered body, and then, well, there's a little bit of more back and forth before that, but then of course they find the dead prime minister, and the other man is there as well. The doctor of course does his doctor thing, which is stand in front of everyone and talk until he figures it out, which is actually his thing of just keep talking until a solution appears, because it does once you talk things through. So he's explaining the crash landing was a trap, because what happens when a crash landing happens? They all get put together in one room. Rose and Harriet and the other gentleman, whose name I unfortunately forget, get interrupted by the woman alien. And then we flash to Jackie saying, it's bigger on the inside, I don't know, talking about the doctor's spaceship to the alien officer. And then we go scene to each of these three scenes. So we see the Jackie, and we see Rose and Harriet, and we also see the doctor. And we go to each of these three scenes and see all the aliens start to unzip their foreheads. And it turns very blue. So while they unzip, all the lights turn off and only the blue lights are on. Just in case you know. And just in case you wondered, that is what happens. One of them says, we are the Slitheen. So we've learned their names. And then we see Jackie scream. And one of the aliens, still dressed as a human, zaps all the people with their security passes. And that is the end of part one. So this is when we're all in a state of panic. Doctor Who is good for ending their two-parter episodes in a moment of disarray where it looks like there's no hope at all. But from the preview for next episode, we can tell that, like, they obviously move past this moment of all being surrounded by these aliens and getting attacked, because currently it looks like everyone's gonna die. So we have the doctor being zapped with everybody in the room, so they have their little security passes and they're all getting zapped. We have Jackie cowering in the corner in her kitchen while the alien Slitheen is coming towards her. And then we have Harriet and Rose and the other gentleman, and he's against the wall and they're all panicking. So this is a really good moment. It's a high stress moment. And yes, so that is the end of part one. So let me move on to series one, episode 5, which is called World War III. Again, it's directed by Keith Boak and written by Russell T. Davies. And the original air date is April 23rd, 2005, which is 1 week past the previous episode. So not much waiting for everybody, which is good. Thank you, Doctor Who, for not making everyone sweat and panic for too long. All right, so we start with the previous episode. So we see basically like a highlight reel of the first bit. So like the aliens crash, we meet Harriet Jones, we see the unzipping, and then we see each person kind of as the last second happens. So we see Rose and Harriet stuck in the room with the gentleman against the wall, and then we see Jackie against her kitchen sink, and then we see the doctor and everybody being zapped. So it continues right from there into the cold open. So the doctor takes off his pass after some struggling and says, deadly to humans maybe, and then puts the pass on the Slitheen, causing them to be zapped. And we notice that the one he puts it on and his friend both get zapped. So it obviously applies to more than just the one Slitheen it's attached to. They're all connected somehow. And then it goes straight to credits. So right after that, it just jumps right to credits. This is interesting because that's like the shortest cold open we've had so far. It's so short. And it's straight to the point. I guess it's because they wanted to continue right to the drama and skip the intro, because basically the previous episode was the intro to this episode. We see a lot in this episode. We continue on all the storylines, and we finish the alien storyline for this episode, the monster of the week, as it were. But we also see a lot of growth with Rose and the Doctor, with their storyline, with the plan for them and the future. And so I will talk more about that when I get to that. And of course, I will summarize everything. This episode, it's going to be a bit long. Sorry, guys. I don't know if I should be sorry. It's nice listening to long things sometimes. So good luck. So yeah, we come back from the credits and we see in all three of the scenarios that because one Slitheen was zapped, they're all being zapped. So we see Rose grabbing Harriet and they run. And then Mickey comes into the flat and grabs Jackie and they run. Another Doctor theme is this constant running. It'll come up over and over again. Love the running. So just heads up. There's lots of running. So they really get their cardio workout. The Doctor then runs into where all the military officers are hanging out and says, "You want aliens? There's aliens in Downing Street." And they all follow him out of the room. We do a lot of jumping back and forth between scenes, as this is quite panicky. We see Harriet and Rose try to get the emergency protocol, but the Slitheen's still after them. The Slitheen managed to take off the security pass, so they are no longer zapped. I really should find a better word, but I feel like zapped is fairly accurate. The Doctor brings the army back into that meeting room, but the Slitheen have turned back into their human versions and say that the Doctor has killed people in that room. And the Doctor's like, "No, the Prime Minister's an alien in disguise." And he's like, "That's not going to work, is it?" And they look at him, "No." And he's like, "Okay." And then he runs off again, running. He gets chased and surrounded, and he talks his way kind of out of it by saying that he's against the lift and escapes into it. One thing we should learn from the Doctor is that you can talk yourself out of any situation you get stuck in. So note that, people. Use that to your advantage. We don't need violence. We need talking. We go back to seeing Rose and Harriet running still, and then they hide in one of the rooms. Then we see the Doctor running. There's lots of running. The Slitheen, this is quite fast pacing, so I don't really have to go into depth with a lot of this. The Slitheen are quite bossy to the military group. They quarantine the floor that they're going to be on, so the 10th floor, so that they can all disrobe, as it were. They go into the room where Rose and Harriet are hiding, and they start to taunt them, saying they can smell their sweat, and they're going to get them. The Doctor continues running. It's really sweet because the Slitheen is almost going to find Rose, and Harriet sacrifices herself, which is super sweet and shows her character, which I really enjoy. I enjoyed that right now we see, and forever really, Harriet tries to do things for the people. She tries to be there for everyone. She's not always in the right. But currently, she always is from the heart. She means to help everyone. She doesn't want the human race to be in trouble. And she'll save anybody. And she tries to save Rose. But then the Doctor comes in and saves everyone, of course. And then running with their running music, as it is very high-paced, and it just sounds like running music. Good workout. Pretend you're being chased. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Just ignore that. Where are we? We find out then, as the Doctor and Rose are in that meeting room, and Harriet are in the meeting room, that the Slitheen are not a race. They are a family, kind of like a mobster family. And then we find out that room, after the doctor's history lesson that's in there somewhere, the room is actually, it's a super protected room, so there's steel in the walls, and it's like, you're locked in. So they're contained. We see Jackie and Mickey run from the apartment. Then we see this, so people start to come to Downing Street, some more of the Slovene people, family, have congregated to Downing. And we see them take off their skin suits and put them on hangers. Like taking off your coat. It's kind of weird. Kind of weird. I love, in this part, the relationship between Jackie and Mickey. Because they're kind of one of the teams in this episode. There is Harriet, the doctor, and Rose is one team. And then Jackie and Mickey is the other. And there's a lot of interesting dynamics. I really enjoy that because Mickey and Jackie used to be close, and then Rose disappeared, and Jackie accused him of killing her daughter because she didn't see any other option. And I kind of get it. It's always the close people. It's people that are closest to you, right? That's who the police look into, and it's logical. It's usually those people. So they have a very interesting relationship because he doesn't trust her anymore, and he used to love her. Like, he used to be another mom, especially because his grandma has passed, and so he's kind of all alone, and he would come over all the time, and they would spend all this time together. You kind of get a little history in a few episodes. Not yet. You don't know that. But now that I'm realizing I'm thinking ahead, you do realize that Mickey, you'll learn that Mickey has known them for a long time. I'm so sorry, guys. That was me thinking another episode has happened that has not. This might happen all the time. I'm really trying hard to avoid it. Clearly we haven't got to Captain Jack Harkness yet. And that's the episode with him. Anyhow. It's interesting to see their dynamic. Obviously, like, she trusts him. She can't help but trust him. Even though she doesn't trust him at the same time. It's very interesting. I really do enjoy that. And he's mad at her. But, like, they're stuck together in this situation, and they know that they can count on each other because they've been together. They've been, he like thought of her as another mother. So I do like that. We then go to the doctor talking to, Jackie and Mickey. There's a couple moments in here. Rose, somehow in this episode, and I think they did this on purpose, they make her look very young. She is young. But we'll see Rose's age ebb and flow as we go through Rose's term here at the Doctor Who. She'll be younger, then she'll be older, then she'll be younger and older, just from her dress, her hair, etc. When we want her to be a child, as for example this episode, when we're always thinking, oh my gosh, this child is gonna die, you're gonna kill my daughter, blah, 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 kind of thing, as it gets on, we see her as very young. She's wearing kind of like a big t-shirt, and like her hair is kind of like, she just looks younger. You can see the young in her. They've obviously dressed her down because I'm sure Billy Piper is older than she's acting. And then like later episodes she'll be older, and later episodes then she'll be younger again, and then older again. So we're just going to kind of trace along and see what the point is of each episode. So this point obviously is we want Rose to look like the daughter that was missed for a year. She was gone for a year. We don't know what happened. That is what we want. We don't want it to be mature Rose, able to handle herself. No, we're like, no, we want you to kind of be a child. So there's a couple times here in this war room that they're in. I don't really know if it's a war room. We're going to call it the war room. And Rose says some things like, why don't we just bomb them? Why don't we just do this? And like, she's kind of being kind of flippant and kind of young. And we see Harriet, and she's kind of a little bit of a foil, not really a foil, but a little bit of the age gap there. So she has the opinion of like, a more mature person who's dealt with crises. Not to this extreme, of course, but Harriet can handle herself under pressure. So it's kind of nice to see this contrast between Rose and Harriet, where Rose is coming up with these ideas, like she's kind of been on this wild ride with the doctor, so she kind of knows how to handle herself, but in a different way, where she goes, they're laughing about the skin suits, like she made a joke about wanting to lose weight or something, and then Harriet's like, people have died. So it's Rose now being kind of taken out. She's kind of seen this happen a couple times, so she doesn't feel as remorseful about it. And this will happen on and off as well. Rose will forget that this has happened and make jokes. I think she gets told off a couple times about it, which again makes her feel like a child being scolded. That's kind of how this feels. I mean, she does bring up the idea of the bomb, and then Harriet talks a little bit about the bomb, and then we get some more information that way, so that's important. Then we get onto unit website. So this is kind of Mickey's beginning. Not really, because we know, we've kind of found out that while the year is that they were gone, Mickey has researched. He's found the doctor on the internet. He's kind of become a whiz. He was always kind of a computer whiz, but we see this being used more effectively now. He is going to be the computer guy in these episodes. That is his gonna be his role. Yay, Mickey, the computer guy. So they're at Mickey's apartment. We'll just move back onto this. So they're at Mickey's apartment, and they're getting onto the unit website. They're getting hacking on there. So Mickey will be the computer guy. And Jackie steals the phone and asks if her daughter's safe. And we get this long, drawn-out pause where the doctor can't say anything. He's looking at Rose. Rose is looking at him. Jackie's on the phone. They know they can't answer. He can't say that she's safe. Because she's not. It's a known fact that Rose isn't safe on these trips. Anything could happen. And it gets brought up again at the end of the episode. And I like how this is an actual thing brought up. Because Jackie might never see her daughter again. It's not just traveling. It's more than that. It's more dangerous than just traveling. Mickey keeps hacking on the computer. So he takes the phone back. And then the Slovene find them. And so they start attacking Jackie and Mickey. And during this, Harriet, the doctor, and Rose are trying to narrow down where the Slovene come from. And so they narrow it down and to find out that it's from a really long planet that I cannot pronounce. And I'm sure Christopher Eccleston had a hoot trying to pronounce. So they're getting attacked, and then Jackie goes and makes the vinegar concoction, throws it on them. There's like a good second pause, and then the Slovene explodes, which is simply enough disgusting. And then Rose, Harriet, and the doctor all cheers their drinks, which is funny. Funny, honey. That's what that is. We then see the Slovene do a press conference saying that there's spaceships outside of Earth, and we need to set a nuke up there to blow it up. What we find out, though, when Mickey gets back on the computer, is that actually they're trying to sell the planet and trying to sell it off piece by piece so they can get a bunch of money, because it's always about money, especially because they're kind of mobsters, so it is kind of about money for them. I like how the woman Slovene says, I don't know their names, guys, sorry, that's how I'm referring to them. The woman Slovene says, you're going to do that trapped inside your little box, or trapped inside your box, which is kind of funny because he does everything trapped inside his box. That's the TARDIS. This is blue box. But no, so he says, if you leave now, I won't kill you, basically. They, of course, don't believe him. They do that evil maniacal laughter. And then the doctor brings up the fact that he knew how to do it all along. He knew what he had to do. He didn't want to because he can't guarantee Rose will be saved. And you see this connection between Rose and the doctor because the doctor doesn't want to kill Rose. He cares about Rose more than he cares about most of the humans. I can't say all of them because I'm sure there's others that he cares about. But she is one of the most important people to him, and he can't consider it. He doesn't care about dying. He doesn't care about Harriet dying. He doesn't want to kill Rose. And neither does Jackie. And I get it. Like, I'm not disagreeing. But Rose or the planet. Because Rose wouldn't live either way. There's a better chance of her living around like this round than the other. But I do like how Rose just agrees. She trusts the doctor. She trusts that it's the right thing to do. She knows it's the right thing to do. And I like that she says, do it. Because she knows her life isn't as important as the planet. She feels that she'll eventually have to give her life up for the planet. Again. Rose and death, guys. Another Rose and death. Let's see. Sorry. Just butting that in there a little. And then he says, I could save the world but lose you. And you can see the sadness in his eyes. The poor doctor, he just loves Rose. He loves her. Harriet, of course, takes over the scene and says, we have to do it because she's the only elected person in the room. And Mickey, then the doctor said, so they get it all set up and they figure out what they're supposed to do. And then the doctor says, Mickey the idiot, the world is in your hands. And he has to press the button to get them blown up. Which is kind of hard that he's blowing up his girlfriend. So anyhow, they get blown up. The Slovene, everyone else runs for safety. The Slovene are obviously not. There's a good moment when the army guy comes up to, or SWAT guy, they might be SWAT or unit, I don't know what they are. He comes up to get them and he's like, oh, never mind. He runs away when he sees their aliens. Very funny. So then they get blown up. And then they step out of the blown up room. And I like how Harriet says, made in Britain. So obviously things are made well in Britain. In the 1990s, they were made better than they are nowadays. So I do agree. This is when we learn that Harriet Jones is going to be the future prime minister. And be the leader of the golden age. I do like how they kind of tidy this up. She takes over the scene. She cleans everything up. She says the world is safe. I do like that. How she's kind of taken over. Then we move past this main Monster of the Week story. So we are done with the Monster of the Week. So we come back. Now we're back at Rose's apartment. She walks in. And Rose and Jackie reunite. And they have their cute mother-daughter moments, which I really appreciate. So they sit there and they're talking and Jackie admits that she likes the doctor a little bit better now that she knows everything. And then she wants to invite him over for dinner. And what does he eat? What does he drink? Like, blah, blah, blah. Kind of funny, kind of cute. The doctor calls and Rose picks up. And this is another moment I don't really like. The doctor makes her choose. The doctor makes Rose choose between him and her mother. I don't really like that. I mean, plot-wise, it's fine. But, like, I don't like the actual idea of it. It makes sense for the plot, but, like, I don't like that character growth of them. It makes him a little bit more of a villain. You should never be told you have to choose between your family and basically your spouse. Basically, he's a romantic interest. I know that he's not really yet, but it's leading there, kind of. And yeah, I don't love that. I don't love that moment. And I don't love the moment that Rose chooses him. I know that I love Rose and I love the doctor and I want her to go traveling with him and I don't have a problem with that. I just don't love the way that works. It's kind of depressing. It's kind of like he's got this control over her. I don't know. I don't really love that. We then go back to Rose packing and Jackie asks her not to go. Which I get, because obviously she's been gone for a year. There's all these things. So I don't think that her mother telling her not to go is as big of a deal. Later on, Rose kind of smooths the situation over a little bit more when she's actually leaving. But at this moment, it kind of makes me uneasy the way that this unfolds. Just this little bit of a moment. I don't really like it. So we see the doctor and Mickey outside the TARDIS after the doctor gets that little boy to clean up the spray paint that he put on the TARDIS. The doctor gives Mickey the little disc to put the virus on the computer so that he gets erased off the internet. I like him, how he says that Mickey's not so much of an idiot anymore. I really enjoy that. I really like this section this little bit because it shows Mickey and the doctor. The doctor didn't like anybody but Rose originally. He really didn't. He thought everyone else was kind of a waste of time. He liked Rose because she was so adventurous and cute and stuff. Like, I don't know. He just liked Rose. He gravitated towards her, but didn't like Mickey, didn't like Jackie. But Rose was kind of interesting. She seemed excited. She was ready to jump into these adventures. So he liked her. But now the doctor's kind of changed his mind. He sees the use of Mickey. He invites Mickey on the TARDIS, which is a big leap from where he was before. Because before, Mickey the idiot was never invited. But now Mickey's not so much of an idiot, which is what the doctor says there. And I really enjoy this little man heart to heart they have. I like how Mickey turns him down and then says, "Don't tell Rose. Don't tell Rose I said that," because he's just not ready to go. So then we see Jackie and Rose come up, and we see this moment where, I don't know, where Jackie questions the doctor. She questions this whole thing. She's like, what happens if you get lost and she's stuck out there on some moon millions of miles away, light years away, and I never see my daughter again? What happens then? Which is true, right? What happens? Of course, Rose smooths it over, says it's just traveling. She has her little traveler backpack, makes a joke about now the doctor's stuck with her. Rose also invites Mickey, which is different from before, where she didn't want to deal with Mickey on the TARDIS. She wanted it all to herself. But she invites Mickey this time. And then the doctor turns Mickey down. Says, "Oh, you can't come. I say no." Because Mickey doesn't want to come. And he wants to keep it away from Rose. And then Rose makes this comment about, like, "Mom, don't worry. Like, we're only going to... It's a time machine. Nothing bad will happen. I'll be back in 10 seconds. And then we count to 10. And obviously, she's not back. And Jackie walks off, and Mickey goes and sits there with his newspaper. So those are those two episodes, The Aliens of London and World War III. As much as it is, again, as I said, about this alien of the week, monster of the week kind of idea, we do get so much growth with Rose and a very interesting direction that she's taken in. So we see her being younger. The past two episodes we've seen Rose, and she's obviously not old. She's obviously 19. We've talked about this a few times. It's been brought up. But she seems to hold her own. She is an adult. She's treated as an adult in those episodes. In this episode, she's definitely treated more as a child, whereas she's away from her mother. There's that whole situation. She's stuck at the house. She's a child. So it is interesting to see that kind of aspect of Rose, because we forget that. And as we go on, we will continue to forget that she is a child still. Because she is. She's 19, which is, like, you were just, like, finished high school. You were a child. And that's fine. It's just she's so young. And we also see the age contrast between her and the doctor. So 19 and 900. Slightly different age there. Just slightly. So that's very interesting. I love Harriet Jones's storyline there. So she has this kind of older, more mature kind of woman. She ends up being like the prime minister. She takes control. She has a sweetheart. As we know, her bill was to help out with some sort of hospice care. So she's really caring about the people, about the community. And that's what her main focus is of this episode. Harriet Jones is to be the speaker of the people. She wants to help the people. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoy all this episode. One theme that I want to bring up in more depth is this death of Rose. So, even the first one. So the first one, Jackie was worried that she died in the blowing up of the store, and she was near death. but not so shockingly in the first one. There was just a regular kind of occurrence. In the second episode, she almost died with the sun filter. I think almost twice. And then the third episode, she almost died when they were getting attacked by the Gelf. And then this episode, she almost died again when the missile attacked them. So we've seen this continuation of Rose and death. And this will continue, I believe, until the end of Rose's appearances. So a couple more seasons, I think. I feel like this is an interesting theme that we'll have to keep track of. Another couple things that were brought up were, of course, Bad Wolf. We saw that one hint of Bad Wolf. They're slowly just throwing it around. That one was pretty obvious, but I do like how it was just sprayed on the TARDIS. Then another one is UNIT. So UNIT will be brought up again and again and again. It's the United Nations something or other. Clearly I know what UNIT stands for. I do not. UNIT is their intelligence task force or something like that. So it's the people who know all about aliens, basically. And I think Osgood is UNIT. And I love Osgood later. So that's my little fact. Obviously, I dressed up as her for Halloween. So she's just pretty cool. Anyhow, UNIT. So that's interesting to bring that up. What else happened? I love Mickey this episode. I feel like he's really grown and he's no longer hateful. Especially at the end of this episode, he is kind of his own man and he will continue to grow to be his own person. And I really like that. I like him better than I like Jackie this episode. Jackie's obviously terrified for her daughter. So I cannot even imagine. I don't have kids. So I can't imagine. I mean, I have a niece, a nephew. So that would be terrifying. Terrifying from her point of view. I mean, her daughter's 19, so she's a little bit more of an adult. But still, can you imagine losing someone for a year? How that would mess with your psyche? So I get it. But I still don't like her as much. I mean, she's worried a lot. And it all makes a lot of sense. I just don't love the way she's portrayed this episode. Not that I'm disagreeing with it. But Mickey seems to have really grown. He's realized there's more out there than what he originally thought back in episode one. And he seems to kind of understood it better. There's that one moment when he's a little bit smug in the beginning, but that's kind of fair. He went through a lot of crap in the past year. So don't hold that against him. Anyhow, I really like this episode. I think I touched all the discussion I wanted to bring up. A lot of this, there's a lot more in this episode that I didn't go into deep detail about. All the, like, awesome music, awesome lighting. Mostly the lighting parts that I liked were in the first half of this episode, where a lot of the blue was happening, because I felt like that was very dramatic and very bringing up the tension, because the first half was all about bringing up that tension, and then the second half, they kind of sped through it. I wonder if it was a bit rushed. I don't think so. They sped through it and then they moved past to the human part. I feel like they made it a two-parter. The point of the episode was supposed to be this alien family, but really the point of this episode is Rose, Mickey, Jackie, and the Doctor, and Harriet Jones, of course. There's a few bits of the episode I think that they could have removed, but they probably just wanted it to, because it's like a punchline and because it kind of makes sense that it would be there. Like those military guys kind of being bossed around and like basically their entire plot could just be removed. It felt like it just took a lot of time that they could have saved and put into more at the second part of the episode. Because the first part really led up to kind of that moment well, but then I did feel like a little bit of that panicky rush feeling. And I know it helps the plot because that's kind of how it was supposed to feel, but I feel like they could have delved into some of it a little bit more. Overall, they did a good job though. I mean, story was told. fairly successfully. I like that moment Harriet Jones realizes she never knew the guy's name. Because I also don't know his name, so maybe he didn't have a name. When he was dead after being killed by the Slitheen. I did like that. This episode did a lot of great things, and although I don't love all of it, and I don't love the plot, I mean, it's a good plot, but it's just not my favorite, and it's not the most exciting to me. I do really like the human part, so the part with, like, the main group, the main cast. I don't really care about the Slitheen. I don't love the gas jokes. I don't love that stuff, so. But I do like, I like the teamwork. I like the different view of Rose. I like Jackie, because she's kind of funny this episode. Jackie and Mickey, and then Mickey and the Doctor. And Jackie and Rose have some really good moments there. I really enjoy those. So yeah, I enjoy quite a bit. Okay, now we're going to go into the part where I say all my favorite things. Because that is a thing. So my favorite character this episode, which oddly I'm going to give this name, and I don't know that I would have thought this before, but my favorite character is Mickey. Yes, this is new. I would never have picked him. Didn't know that I liked him this episode, but I really did. I felt like he stepped up. He became a new guy this episode, and I thought this happened a lot later, but I guess I missed these initial changes of Mickey, where he's a little bit more independent. He has a little bit more strength this episode. He's no longer cowering in the corner. I did not love the Doctor at the end of this episode, so that took him out of the running. Rose was okay, but they made her really young, and there's a couple moments that I didn't love. Harriet Jones is a really good character, but she's a bit bossy, so I don't love her. I like her, but I don't love her. So her, the Doctor, and Rose are kind of in the same boat of, like, liking, but there's a couple bits that I don't love. And Jackie as well. Jackie makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I know why she's feeling, and she has to feel that way. There's no other way she could feel in this moment. Like, I get it, but I still don't love it. So anyhow, favorite character, Mickey. Also, funny that the Doctor keeps saying his name is Ricky, and then we find out later in another episode that this same guy is named Ricky. Random aside, if you've seen the future, sorry guys, spoilers a little. That didn't make sense unless you've seen these other episodes, but it's funny that the other Mickey is Ricky, and the Doctor calls him Ricky this entire episode, so weird. Okay, that's my favorite character. My favorite moment. Huh. This is hard. My favorite moment of this episode. Oh, I don't even know. I like so many of these little one-liners. So many moments I love. Okay, I'm going to pick a few moments because I can't decide. I love that moment with Rose and her mother at the end, when they're sitting on the couch and hanging out, and they seem cool again. And they seem to have gone back to their normal, which I enjoy. I like that moment of Mickey and the Doctor, when they kind of connect at the end, and he gives them the CD, and he realizes he's not so much of an idiot. And I like the moment with the Doctor driving the TARDIS randomly in the middle of the episode, of the first part, when he hits it with a rubber mallet. It's really funny. I don't know why, but I enjoy that part. Okay, my least favorite part. It's not really a part, but more of like a gag through the episode. I don't love the farting jokes. It's just not my humor. But yeah, this is not my favorite. Still a good episode, though, even though there's some things I don't like, just so you guys know. Overall, I'm really impressed with how they did this episode. I do love, again, as I've said, the human parts more than I like the monster of the week, alien of the week, whatever. I do kind of like that. There's a couple funny jabs where she says, like, made in England or made in Britain. And the Doctor says, take me to your leader. So it's kind of funny, like a little bit of a play on aliens. It's interesting how they bring the UN to this one, and making all those decisions, and there's lots of news in this, so it's trying to bring the alien to the real world, and I really enjoy that part. Yeah. A couple discussion questions I have. What do you think of the growth of Rose and Mickey's relationship? Clearly you know what I feel and how I feel that they are. But what do you guys think? Do you think Rose and Mickey are a good couple? Do you think they'll stand the test of time? Do you think there's a reason they're together? What do you think? And I don't mean that in any mean way. Like, I just curious for your thoughts, guys. I don't care if you have different thoughts. I love that you have different thoughts than me. It makes this way more interesting than I could ever make it. So that's good. Question number two. Do you think the Selene's plan was a good one? Humans just end up nuking everybody and voila, they just die. And then they sell off the planet. Do you think that was a good plan? Making World War III? I don't know if I really like their plan. I mean, obviously I don't. I don't want the humans to die. But it's kind of a funny... It's a lot of work for them to get their money. So it's interesting. It's an interesting way to do it. Do you think Mickey should have forgiven Jackie? He obviously forgives her. In this episode. Because clearly they're friends again at the end. But do you think that he should have forgiven her? That's a lot of stuff that she did to him. And logically so. I mean, it makes sense. But when you were at the end of that, do you think that makes sense? Sorry that I didn't do so well this week with questions, guys. I hope that you guys enjoyed this post. I know it's a bit longer than usual. It's because I did two in one, which also means I didn't go into as much detail as usual. But I hope you enjoyed. Just want to give a shout out to my pal Ryan at Razakai Ren. Thank you so much for all your tweeting. I really appreciate all of your comments. Again, I just want to thank you guys all so much for your continued support. I really appreciate everything you guys do. If you can please rate and review this podcast on iTunes, it would be fantastic. And if you want to tweet, Facebook, Instagram, etc., please use the hashtag WAASTGP and the handle at TestGPodcasts. I want to make sure that I capture everything you guys send out. I also do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/TestGPodcasts, and I appreciate any support you can give so I can continue to make these podcasts ad-free. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting. I love you all. You are the best. XOXO, ciao for now.